Welcome, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers. Brought to you proudly by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids. 3:04 on the clock, got your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined by my partner in sports, Mr. Randy Paul.
Afternoon, James.
Afternoon,
hi, everyone.
Randy. We hope you guys are having a good one out there. I don't know if you call that rain, snow, some weird hybrid that Mother Nature has just created, but there's something coming down here in Rapids, and I don't know what it is.
I call it April Fool's.
It is April. Mother Nature has the weirdest sense of humor there is. Yeah. Thanks for that, Mother Nature. We're here to take your phone call, 715-424-2600. Call up and join the conversation. Anything on your mind sports-wise, we want to talk with you about it. Randy and I were talking in our pregame a little bit. We don't really have any local sports to get to today, so we will have to fill it somehow. I don't know how we'll fill the hour. Who knows? Let's find out how we start the hour. Good afternoon. How are you doing? Welcome to Playmakers.
How are you doing this afternoon, fellas?
Good. How you doing, man?
Did you get the breaking news out of Minnesota about an hour ago?
What was that?
They traded pick 11, pick 23, next year's first round draft pick, and Sam Darnold to the Jets for Aaron Rodgers.
Wow. I was waiting for this day. This is a good day, people. What do you think this means for the Minnesota? I can't do this.
April Fool's.
Yes. You know, every once in a while you hear one of those, or you read one of them, and you're like, oh, that's just fun. But then there's the ones that are like, well, you start thinking about it. You start thinking about it a little bit.
It almost makes sense.
The greatest April Fool jokes to me are the ones that they can walk that line. Adam Schefter does a pretty good job with these. And I think because of his place with news and everything, you almost can't help it. You see, well, Adam Schefter, I mean, come on. You know, I mean, yeah, of course Minnesota would trade all that for Aaron Rodgers. Why wouldn't they?
And Herschel Walker.
Yeah. Yes, and
Why not?
And, yep, running backs coach Herschel Walker coming along for the ride. Why not?
Yeah, there you go.
Got any stats for us today, bud?
Well, no, I don't have any stats, but did you guys happen to catch any about the Brewers sweeping the Mets this past weekend?
Yeah, I did see a little bit of it.
Yeah, definitely want to get into Brewer talk. We can kick it off right here. I'm curious to know, Brewer fans out there, if this is, you know, the perfect way to start the year. Like, if you could ask for much more. It seems like a really nice beginning.
I think it's their best start since 2018, being 3-0.
That's what I heard, yeah.
I think we just need to play the Mets every year the first three games.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt, does it?
Yeah, the conversation we've had is that we think that the Brewers' offense is going to be better this year, so they're going to have to probably out-hit the opponents because the pitching we don't think will be quite as good. Of course, with Burns and Woodruff both, you know, not pitching this year for us, that'll make a big difference as well. But so far, it's held up pretty well. And then, of course, now we don't have Devin Williams in the pen either for probably half the year, so going to really have to, I think, score some runs.
Hey, always appreciate the call, bud. You have a good week.
Yep. Go Brewers.
We'll talk soon. Him and I usually exchange a stat of our show and everything, so we've got stat of the show right here. Don Mattingly set a single-season record for Grand Slams in 87 with six. Six Grand Slams.
Wow.
They were the only Grand Slams he ever hit in his career. He never hit another one.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Rhys Hoskins could have had two yesterday and said he didn't knock anybody
close.
In.
Yeah, it was so close.
Rats.
Good afternoon. You're on Playmakers.
Good afternoon, guys.
Hey, how's it going, man?
That was just probably one of the worst April Fool's jokes I've ever heard in my life. You know,
it was funny and painful. That's a good April Fool's joke. That's a good one right there.
Right.
I can do that.
Well, a couple of things I saw on Facebook, like down in Lake Country, the Dock Hounds, they said they were going to change their name to the Flying Monkeys.
<That's>
for one of the independent teams down there. You know, that was kind of funny.
That's a good one.
And then one of the racetracks over in La Crosse said they're going to start going clockwise instead of counterclockwise.
Oh, I like that. That's a really good one, actually. That's good.
But, you know, this weekend, I mean, it started off good in the afternoon with the Brewers beating the Mets. But then, you know, get home and put on ESPN News and watching that Badger hockey game. It was an exciting game. And they had their chances to win. But, you know, I guess I'm not really terribly disappointed. They didn't go on.
Mm-hmm.
because they weren't expected to be as good as what they were this year.
That's what
they were going to probably be a year away. I'm excited to see what's going to happen next year. Mm-hmm. You know, and then you know, the Brewers making a sweep over the weekend, and I like this ball club. Just, you know, even though it's only a little taste of what we saw and over the weekend, but these young guys are fast.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. You got to like the. It feels like, even though I know that it wasn't a humongous roster change, and a lot of the change that happened with the pitching side, this team seems so much younger and faster to me. And I don't know when that happened or how exactly it happened, but definitely, on the base pads especially, but defensively is where I noticed it.
Yeah.
I didn't want to cut you off, Randy, but what you were saying before about the pitching, I couldn't agree with you more about scoring more runs. And we know how hard this team is, how much of a trouble this team has had over the years scoring runs. But one quick way to do that, if you don't have the bats, you can't grab a Soto or one of these guys, RBIs. You get these guys running these bases like that. And then on the pitching side of things, if you don't have the great pitching, I saw this with my White Sox get a World Series this way. The White Sox, it was defense. A lot of people point to the pitching in that series, especially the Astro series, and I agree with them. The pitching was outstanding, but it was the defense that really stood out that year. I think that was a defensive championship the White Sox won in 2004. So I don't know. I think that this Brewer team has got a lot of exciting elements to it with young players. I like Bryce Terang a lot. This new kid coming up.
Cereal.
Yeah, man. He's going to have a cereal named after him. He's going to... No, it's a bad joke. It's a bad joke. He's a fun player. There's some fun pieces here. And I think that one of the biggest things you could ask for when there's 162 of these games is storylines, is interest, and things that you... I don't know that there's necessarily an answer to. Like, you're not going to find out that at the end of the year, no matter how good some of these players are, you're not going to have an answer of, oh, well, they're going to be a Hall of Famer. You're just going to, so we just find out more and more. We get more and more data with every at-bat, every game. That's exciting. That's good drama.
And just to put this out there so everybody's aware of it right now, we've got a new one for Rhys Hoskins.
Yeah.
We're going to all get shirts, and we're going to go sit in the stands, and we're going to say, we love Reese's to pieces.
It's perfect. It's perfect.
So you heard it here first.
I'm sure Phil can print that up for you guys. You
know, yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, we got a connection there.
Phil, if you're listening, we need 20 now.
That's been a nice signing already. Mm-hmm. That's already, you can see why what it means to have a leader in the clubhouse when you've got a young team like this. I think San Diego struggled with this last couple of years with this without having a good veteran leader like that. Rhys Hoskins, I'm sure that they're going to miss him in Philly no matter how good they do this year. He's one of those athletes.
Well, you know, and the thing is, though, I mean, was that slide too excessive for the beginning of the year?
It is in this day and age,
I mean,
right?
There's no love between Hoskins and the Mets. I mean, look at the times that he was there with how many times they hit him, you know, and then they turn around on Saturday and throw it at, you know, like you said, you don't miss by 8 feet, you know, and that it's going to be interesting year. I mean, I think, like you said, he's going to be a good leader. You know, mix him in with a Yelich. I mean, Yelich is starting out, you know, very well. He's already got a home run. He's hitting the ball. I mean, everybody's hitting the ball. I mean, they had guys in scoring position, but there weren't many strikeouts. It was always like, you know, they might either popped out or hit it at somebody. You know, they put the bat on the ball. But, you know, the Cheerio, I mean, he made some defensive plays, especially yesterday. I mean, most guys probably wouldn't have got to the ball, and he caught him in stride. He wasn't diving for the ball. He caught it in stride.
All these young players, I think that while there's a lot of question marks on each one of them, one thing you don't have to question is their defense. Every single one of these young players that we can bring up, they all have solid, if not great, defense. I think that this is one of those things that you can really lean into if you're a Brewer fan.
And the other thing I think that's exciting was, you know, you mentioned Yelich is hitting pretty well. Contreras kind of seems he's picking up where he left off.
Yeah.
Adames is starting to hit pretty well, as you know, and he struggled mightily last year, so that was good to see. So, yeah, I'm just excited, but now we'll see what happens when they move on and they play the Twins.
Jacob Junis era begins tomorrow. Jacob on the mound. We'll see how he does. That's going to be – and you're going to get a chance here with some of these arms, these young arms, to see what they can do in real time and and find out how they are in action with the injuries and with the loss of Burns and Woodruff and that. So it should be interesting with that part of it, too. And honestly, nowadays, who's got great starting pitching? I guess the Braves. Yeah. But I mean, it's 1-2 teams that have like 3-4 starters or anything anymore. So I don't know if you're Milwaukee. I'm looking at this as I will win my division and move on and see what else can happen. This isn't there's no rebuild here. There's no we lost our manager. Oh, woe was us. Nope. It's let's get back out there. Let's hit the diamond. Let's win some games this summer. I love seeing that. I think that's been pretty cool.
I mean, I want to throw this question at Brandy. Is that, I mean, do you see Pat Murphy being probably more of a situational hitter or a pitcher or coach instead of analytical?
That's a good question. I think from what I've understood and read is that he's going to want to run more, you know, and I think they might as well because they struggled with the hitting last year. Now they're running more, and you know, just listening to that game yesterday, they were just talking about this, which is obvious, is it puts more pressure on the pitcher. Now you're dealing with those guys, trying to hold them close on base. You're not concentrating as much. Next batter gets up, and he probably gets a walk, and that happened yesterday as well. So I think he's just going to keep the pressure on. You know, they got fast guys. They're going to run, I think, just every chance they can because it puts a guy in scoring position every time. So you don't have to get a double. You don't have to get the triple or home run. You get a single, and you score runs. So I think from that standpoint, it won't be as much of a situation. He'll just be, let's just go.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And he made a comment, too, with what Pat Murphy said, even about Cheerio. He goes, even he's a young guy. He goes, they got to trust him. And, yeah, he's going to make his mistakes, but then use that as a coaching moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's, I mean, he's 20 years old, you know, 20 years old in a week or whatever it is. And I really like this kid. I mean, he might be the next Robin Yount.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see, you know, where it goes from there. If he's, you know, when his contract gets up, if he's going to stick it out in Milwaukee or see where Milwaukee's at. But I guess we talked a little bit last week. I'm really excited to see this young team. I mean, even throughout the whole league. I mean, I think this year's league is going to be, they might see some ratings finally. They might, you know, get people to watch TV. And I mean, no, it's just, I'm excited to see what's going to happen. I think there's going to be a change in the guard this.
And you know, I think the division is going to be tough though too. The Reds, I think, are better this year. The Pirates are better this year. Of course, the Cubs are going to be tough. So it's going to be a tough division, top to bottom this year.
I mean, who would have ever thought that the Brewers, this especially what everybody talked about, the Brewers and the Pirates are one of three teams in the National League that haven't lost yet.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's great. That O'Neill Cruz in Pittsburgh is so much fun to watch. That kid is amazing. That just insane. And he hasn't even, like, really honed his skills yet. He's still learning how to, like, do all these things on a Major League diamond. It's incredible. Some of the young talent that's coming out in baseball, you got to be pretty excited if you're a baseball fan, and especially if you are the somebody promoting baseball or a sponsor of baseball or anything like that. With the contract rights coming up of baseball, that's going to be interesting, too, with that. And while I have you here, man, I had a real quick question that I wanted to ask the audience, the crew, everybody. Going forward, and I'm going a different direction here, I admit, but we'll talk basketball. I want to talk women's basketball specifically. Looking forward to that. Lady Badgers playing tonight and everything, getting to all that. Going forward, as a sports fan, which I have been literally since the moment I was born, my father made darn sure that I knew what boxing and hockey was. I was like, I didn't even breathe. Wasn't even breathing yet, and he had a stick in my hand. I'm curious, going forward, am I going to be able to be a sports fan if I don't gamble? You know? Like, is that going to be something that's going to hold me back from enjoying the game, or is it going to hurt the game for me going forward? This is a gigantic question, I understand, but I don't gamble, so I'm curious to those that out there that might. There's no judgment there with that, by the way. I've got plenty of other bad things I do. it's more so. This is a general question. This isn't me setting up, you know, some fact I want to bring up or, you know, getting on my soapbox about anything. I'm genuinely curious if anybody cares. If it really is going to change sports, and I don't mean just a game or two here where somebody may, you know, shave some points or any of those things. I'm not even necessarily talking about on the in the game. I'm talking about like the way we take in sports, the way we enjoy sports. All of a sudden now on ESPN and all these other things that I look at, I can't go 5 seconds without hearing the DraftKings odds or odds or anything. And I'm so, like, I just cannot take it. I'm sick of it already. We just got going on this thing. We just started with legalized gambling and everything, and I'm already sick of it.
Well, you know, I think you need to, I mean, I'll kind of close with this and let you guys get other guys, people on, is that, you know, look back when they started the fantasy leagues.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you almost lost a true fan. I mean, you probably brought people in that were really fans as much into the, you know, watching, the, you know, putting the eyes on the TV. But as a true fan, I mean, you can have your fantasy team, but what happens if the Packers are playing against your running back or mm-hmm. playing against your, you know, your quarterback? And, you know, you want your team to win, but on the other hand, you don't want him to, you know, them to intercept him, or where you're going to lose points on these guys. I think gambling is going to affect sports. I mean, they're kind of already starting to do the investigations in the NBA mm-hmm. with all the prop bets. But on the other hand, the leagues have done it to themselves because they're allowing it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. This is a self-inflicted wound.
What's really kind of sad is as we're watching these NCAA tournament games and Marquette ends up shooting against North Carolina State from 3-point land, 4-for-31. I know the Badgers shot very poorly, Arizona shot very poorly. Illinois gets outscored 30-0 from the end of the first half into the second half.
Yeah.
You're like, you wonder if, you know, we had this conversation. You're like, are they actually maybe getting to the kids and paying them off to miss?
Well,
because that's a lot of misses for a lot of teams, and it gets you. And isn't that sad? You actually think of those thoughts.
Nobody has more issue
with that.
Nobody has more issue with this than basketball in general. I don't care if it's high school, people have always had an eye for basketball, and like it's the only sport that is capable of this. You're so right about that.
But just think how easy it is to miss a three compared to making one. You know. And it can look like you're trying.
Mm-hmm.
And then Zach Edey doesn't get any fouls in most games. He had one the other day.
Yeah.
Another game against, who was it? Somebody else he had. He got a foul. Maybe it was the Badgers. He got a foul at the first minute, 46, and got that technical. And then he didn't get a foul in that and overtime. And so it was like tantamount to an entire game. He never got a foul.
Yeah.
I think it was yesterday's game. They said that everybody had a foul in the first half. And everybody, except for Zach Edey.
Biggest tree on the court.
It just makes you wonder.
Yeah,
it does.
We'll see what happens against NC State because they got a big guy too that I think.
Yeah.
He doesn't foul much either. So it's going to be. We'll see where it goes. I mean, if it ends up that he gets a ton of fouls and Edey doesn't, then we're going to know something's going on. I mean, that's just But
hey, appreciate the call, bud.
Yep, thank you.
You guys have a great day.
You too.
It's just worrisome, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
424-2600. Hit us up, everybody. Phone lines are open. That's the only reason I'm bringing it up is because I love these games so much. I have never spent 1 second of my life as a sports fan paying attention to this. But I will say from the world I come from and everything, there is a lot of gambling that went on. There's a lot of back behind the scenes stuff that happened and everything. This has always been a part of sports in my life. I've always seen this side of things. It's just now they're saying the quiet part out loud. And it's all out there now. And I'm very, very curious as your average fans, your overall fans, that like they're now being led into this world of like, hey, this has been going on. We don't even know. Is this why we invented sports? So we could gamble on it? Like, is that really? It's a curious question. It's an interesting place we're in. And we're trying to, very similar to the internet and other things, we're trying to make the boat while we're on the water. We got to figure this stuff out in real time. We're going to make some mistakes. You know, you got to break some eggs to make a cake. All these other metaphors I can throw out there right now. All that being said, we are living in this and experiencing that. And I'm very interested at where it goes from here. Let's take another call. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
I always thought it was break a few eggs to make an omelet, but.
Yeah, something like
that's
that. I'm not much of a baker.
I got a stat for you, James.
All right.
The most opening day home runs in Major League Baseball history is 8 by Frank Robinson.
Wow. Interesting. Wow. I wouldn't have guessed that.
And you guys were just wrapping up your gambling talk, and I don't know if you've watched any games this year, But apparently, Bally's or whoever sponsors the Brewers games has an inning-by-inning probability of win stat that will be on the screen the entire game.
Yeah, yeah, I saw that. Yeah, it's
that's wild.
It is really wild. It's just blunt now. Yeah. It's just, hey, give us your money, gamble on this, you know? It's not even,
yeah.
And I don't know how, like, I have a hard time in enjoying sports sometimes because of my homerism. Because I'm so biased about something, and I get my hopes up so much about this team winning or this player having a good game or something like that, and I lose my mind over it. I can't imagine if money was involved. Whew!
Right.
Money, I work in radio, man. I don't have that much of that stuff. Like, I mean, if money's right. involved, people are. I don't know. I don't know what happens then. I don't know. Like, it's already.
Yeah,
I don't.
Right.
I also don't understand. Like, and again, get to each their own. It's your money. I hate other people telling what people to do with their own money. But that being said, I can't think of more insane things to do in this world than gambling on a sporting event. With everything we've just been talking about, the four of us with our last call. And everything if you pay attention to sports, even just one sport in your whole life, you see all the randomness and craziness of it and everything, and you're gonna put your hard-earned money on that, man.
Yeah, like you said, I get stressed off enough about the game. I get just watching the game is stressful enough. I don't want to put money on the game.
No. That's actually how they lose me, is if I had to start gambling on it. I think that would be an interesting end of things, too, if the gambling became more popular than us as fans. And they leaned so much into it that direction. I think that's one of the things that my brain, my imagination is afraid of it going so far that direction. There's so much money involved that all of a sudden you feel like if you're not a gambler, well, why am I watching this? You know, that's a really dangerous place.
I may as well just go buy a Powerball.
Yeah. Which,
you know, at that point, it's kind of a crapshoot either way. But anyways, I'll let you go.
Hey, thank you, bud.
Yeah, you know, going back to that Zach Edey thing, you know, when I was talking about how he only got one foul or doesn't get fouls, you know, as a coach, if you've got that guy on your team, you know, you're like, just don't punish him because he's a big guy, right? And I'm not even thinking that the officials are being bought off on Zach Edey.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just thinking, you know, he's let him get called for three or four because he is banging just as hard as everybody else, right?
Yeah.
And when he bangs into those guys and they get fouls, well, you know, maybe give the other guys a break once in a while too, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, and on the other hand, the one thing the referees do not want to do, I'm sure, is to control the game so the fact that now Zach Edey's out and now it's not fair for them, right?
Right, right.
You know, you just want to let the kids decide the game too. So it's a fine line to walk as an official. So I'm not saying that in any way, shape, or form that they are.
Oh, yeah, I didn't take it that way.
No. In case anybody out there was listening, I'm not doing it. But
I think it does lead us into a key point to this too, though, and in an odd way getting to this, of the importance of not only having good refs and having good umpires and all these sports that we watch and take in and everything, but the way we treat them. And I have a hard time believing out of 100 referees that any like even 5 of them are crooked. I have a hard time believing that. For one, all eyes are on them. At this point in the game, you can't get away with jaywalking. You're going to get caught. So I don't know how a rational mind can convince themselves that that is legitimate, that you can make some money off that nobody's going to notice. That being said, we all know that it still happens and that, you know, crime is not often something that a rational mind is going to approach. But that being said, still, I don't know how most of these guys can think that they can get away with it. And if they do, what are the accountability part of this, too, is interesting to me, where we don't have laws set up for this yet. It's as if, all right, somebody just invented a new crime to commit, and our judicial system is like, I don't know how to punish that. Like, we've never even heard of that before, never even seen that before. What is that? That's what's happening right now. We've got this kid in Toronto who got caught with, taking himself out of games. And now there's a question, allegedly, if he gambled on it or not, if he had people gambling on his over-unders and everything, all of that. They don't know how to punish him, though. Say, if he is found guilty for what he did, what's the what you look at what they did to Pete Rose? Like, there's no comparison for it or anything, and there's no set of laws for something like this. So that part of it is going to be wild and interesting. Also, it's going to be a really interesting women's Final Four no matter who ends up in there. I want to get into the Elite Eight when we get back, Randy, for the women's side, and certainly talk about the men's Final Four. We got to get into that. Somebody please ask me about the NFL draft. Please give me an opportunity to talk about the NFL draft,
or about the
please.
New kickoff rule.
Yes, we got new rules in the NFL. Nobody's even touched it. We're half an hour into the show. We haven't even gotten to it yet. All that coming up for you right here on Playmakers. Randy and James taking it to you. Right, brought to us by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids. Welcome back, everyone. Playmakers here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Randy and James here with you. Talk a little college basketball now, and we're not going to talk brackets, though.
No.
That's just heartbreak.
Yeah.
That's just heartbreak, especially as we got done just talking about gambling in the last segment. See, there's another thing. I didn't put a penny on March Madness, and it has upset me almost. Like, I've enjoyed it, and I've been upset with my teams losing. It's this little bit of back and forth that I've learned to do with fantasy sports as well. I thought our good friend Kev brought up a good point earlier about fantasy sports and how that changed a lot of sports, and I couldn't agree more on that. I think Randy and I always joke that we could do an hour on this topic or whatever. On fantasy sports, we could do a week
right.
on that and how that's impacted the game. I shameless plug, just won our in my friend's league. I just won our NBA championship yesterday. I haven't won it in like 8-9 years or whatever, and I felt really good. It was awesome. But I also had my team playing against Bulls players and Milwaukee Bucks players. So they're the two teams that I kind of really like and enjoy. So it was this mixed bag of, oh, I want that guy to score, but not too much. You know, and dealing with that, you're chewing gum and walking at the same time.
I'm so bad at this bracket thing. I filled my bracket out first today. That's when I first got to it. And I still got two wrong.
That would happen to me, too. I had Tennessee and UConn going face-to-face.
Yeah, I had UConn Duke. Duke had like the easiest road they'll ever have had. You know, did you ever notice that Duke usually gets a pretty good, like, about the four seeds that they're, if they're not the top four, they're always going against the number four. And so, if you look at what they had, I mean, it was really set up for them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They started off against Vermont, and then they played James Madison because Wisconsin lost to them. And then they took on Houston, who had a kid banged up.
Yeah.
So now you're playing the 11 seed North Carolina.
I mean,
it was just set up to get there.
It looked like it was their kind of year for a lot of that stuff, which a lot of us growing up seeing that all the time got a little tired of it. I couldn't have been happier to see NC State win that game. I'm excited about the men's Final Four. We'll start there. NC State and Purdue are going to be playing Saturday at about 5, and Alabama and UConn at Saturday right after that one. NC State 11, Purdue a 1, Alabama a 4, and UConn a 1. I really don't. I'm just looking forward to watching the games. I don't really have anybody I'm pulling for. I would like to see NC State win it all. Just that'd be fun and exciting, especially all these years later after Coach V and everything.
Talking about that 83 team.
It's kind of, it'd be pretty, especially if they were to beat a UConn. Like that'd be pretty. That's something that's going to be a game
that's
of
like
an ages.
Beating the Phi Slamma Gem in Houston.
Yes,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. It'd be pretty cool. It'd be a pretty cool thing to watch as a sports fan.
41 years later, huh?
But that's amazing. I have a question that I'm a little curious about here, and I don't know if anybody else is in this either. When it comes to every other major sport, even track and field to it, I'll say team sports. When it comes to hockey, baseball, football, I'm not a dynasty guy. I don't like the dynasties. I get a little bored of it pretty quickly. I was 2 years into the Patriots thing. I was done with that. Even as a kid, I wasn't a huge, as much as I love Jerry Rice, I didn't really like San Francisco and Dallas dominating all the time and everything. But in basketball, it doesn't bother me as much. And I kind of like seeing greatness in all sports, but especially in basketball. And I'm pretty sure this is all Michael Jordan's fault. Growing up, I watched the Bulls win 6 titles, and it's the some of the best, if not the best, I've ever felt as a sports fan. And I wonder if that tainted me to where in basketball, it's okay in there. Like, because I'm watching this UConn team. And I think most anybody with two brain cells that watches college basketball more than 3 or 4 games will tell you this is the most complete team all season long, whether it was the first game of the season or now. They've looked this way since last year. I don't think anybody outside of an NBA team can beat them. I think they have to beat themselves with turnovers, free throw, poor free throw shooting, all of that. So I don't see how UConn loses. And I don't mind. I haven't minded watching this team. There's no star. There's no selfish play. It's just great basketball. They play really, really solid, and they do something that I love in sports. They beat you down. They beat you emotionally and physically. I love teams that don't, well, we got a lead, let's go ahead and sit on it. No, put them in the dirt. Put them in the dirt. I love a team. I love a coach that does that. To me, that's the element of sports. If you don't like it, stop them. You know? And this UConn team is, they're not so much, I know that the end of the score of the games is telling you that they're dominant. It's not so much that they're dominant on in the traditional ways that, oh, they've got this great, and you know, player that's dominating. They're dominant because of the way that they gel together. And there's no other team in college basketball that has that chemistry. I find it really, I actually enjoy it. I don't mind if UConn wins and wins back-to-back titles and everything, which is weird to me because normally in sports, that's something that I really can't stand. I get bored with really fast. Is anybody else like enjoy that? Or is anybody else enjoying seeing kind of a really good college basketball team? We don't get to see that often anymore.
And you know, we're talking before the tournament that we thought this would be a really wide open tournament. And as far as, you know, you're getting an Alabama in there, they've never been there before. You got NC State, who hasn't been there for like 40 years or whatever. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you're picking your brackets and you're going, geez, the Badgers just beat Purdue in the Big Ten tournament.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I just, and you know, they lost in the first round last year, so I just don't know if they're going to go. And then UConn, yeah, they were tough and they were beating everybody and dominating. They still are. But then they played Creighton on February 20th and they beat them 85-66. Creighton beat them 85-66. So you're like, do they have that in them where they get in the tournament and also they have one of those down games? But in the tournament, both that, you know, they have been even more dominant than Purdue.
Yeah. I'm also curious about the question that came up last week about Greg Gard. And how much longer he may have that job, or if you would think that something might have been done by now. They may be waiting for a certain cycle in the recruiting schedule, like an opening there. But otherwise, I'm a little surprised the hammer hasn't already fallen there. I have a feeling that if he's going to keep his job, it has everything to do with who I almost said coach, but or GM, but really he's the AD, McIntosh, what he can find. If there's somebody out there that wants that job, they're going to get it. If there's nobody that wants it, Gard is probably going to keep that job. It seems like that's what they're doing right now, hedging their bets, if you will. We can go to the theme of the show here again. And where that goes with that, that's going to be another interesting storyline. Shout out to a great season by Marquette as well, Coach Smart. I know it didn't end very good for them or anything. That was a tough game to watch.
NC State.
Yeah, but, you know.
Again, 4 for 21. What was it? 4 for 31 on the shooting?
Yeah.
Yeah.
12%. I enjoyed them, though, this year.
Yeah.
I really like what Smart is doing there. I think that you have a chance to see something that you don't get to see much in college athletics anymore, a guy stay somewhere, you know, a coach stay and actually build something.
And the kids stayed too.
Good point.
They didn't lose really any, that I can recall, if they lost anybody to the portal last year. Now the Badgers are losing a few kids to the portal. You know, Sejan's going, sounds like Storr's going. I mean, he still has the option to come back. And then they lost that taller center, Yeldon or something like that, who didn't really see much PT, but they thought there's going to be big things for both he and Esegian. That was one of the things I was kind of curious. Something must have been going on behind the scenes that we weren't aware of. Because, you know, I know that they didn't like the way that Esegian was playing defense.
Yeah.
However, they needed offense, and the kid could score.
Right.
You know, and he just wasn't seeing the court. And when they only shoot, you know, what they shot like 4 for 25 also in that game that they lost. You think he might have seen a little more PT, but something must have been going on that we're not aware of, I guess.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be an interesting offseason for both squads, Wisconsin and Marquette. The Lady Badgers, though, are not ready for the offseason. They are still playing. They are still marching on. They are taking on the St. Louis Billikens tonight. We'll have that game for you right here at WFHR pregame. We'll kick off at 6:40 for that. We are here, Randy and I, to take on the tough questions, to answer the hard questions. That's what Playmakers does. We've been doing this for a long time. We're very good at what we do. And so we are here to answer, what is a Billiken? What is a Billiken? Yes. ESPN ain't covering this. I don't see Fox News covering this, Randy, but we will cover it, though. I had to know. Does anybody else want to know what a Billiken is? For those that don't know, the Badgers are taking on the St. Louis Billikens today. And so what is a Billiken? It is a mythical good luck figure who represents things as they ought to be.
That'll put fear in any team.
That's not fair. You get to use a good luck charm?
Come on.
Come on. That's not fair. I want to change the Badgers' name to the Wisconsin Dreamcatchers or something. Like, I'm going to get a good luck charm in there, the four-leaf clovers. Come on. If this is the case, why doesn't the Notre Dame have, just use a four-leaf clover as their logo and everything? I don't know. This should be a good game. This is one of the things that I enjoy about the women's, or I mean college basketball in general. You see a St. Louis show up and some teams like that going up against a Big Ten powerhouse like Wisconsin. I don't know if you would call them a powerhouse in women's basketball, but they've had a good team this year and it's going to be a fun game.
Well, it's always fun. You know, that's the other thing because, of course, last year the Badgers men team was in the NIT and they got to, what, the semifinals, yeah. I believe. And that's something that it's fun with those teams that don't make the NCAA tournament, you know, so lets them play on and gives you something enjoyable to follow as well. And then, of course, you know what's interesting? You're talking about UConn being a power. Isn't it interesting that both UConn and NC State, their girls are still playing as well?
Yeah.
They're both in the Elite Eight right now, and that's going to be taking place, and the Final Four coming up for them too.
That'll be exciting. There are so many good games on the women's side of things with LSU and Iowa and the excitement of that could be the game of the year right there. Right. You've got UConn and USC and a player like Paige Beckers, who I don't know if she's got a year left or if this is her last year. I can't remember. But it's got to be towards the end of her collegiate career. And what a career it's been. Even with the injuries, she has had such a nice career and such good game. I love watching her. But she's like elastic out there. It seems like she's always like got her arms spread out, it seems like. She's always going for blocks or passes. I really like her game. And then you got this Juju kid at USC who just is amazing.
Yep.
And she's got such an awkward, like, almost, I don't like to use, my dad's going to get mad at me for calling it this way, but almost a Maravich kind of way of with the ball, where it looks like she's globetrotting out there some ways, but it's just a really creative player, which is one of my favorite things in basketball, seeing creative players. I love seeing that in the game. A lot of good games on the women's side, so that's going to be exciting. A lot of great college basketball.
It's kind of interesting how you said, you know, before you don't really like to see dynasties, except in basketball, like because of the Bulls. For some unknown reason, I like USC. I don't know why.
Huh.
You know, and they were like when we lived in Arizona, they were like a big rival with Arizona.
Yeah.
But I still like them. Isn't really, that bizarre? Yeah. No. So I just cheer for them. I don't know.
I don't.
Maybe it goes back to the days of OJ. And you know, there's only a couple NCAA games on when I was a kid, you know, and one was an afternoon game with UCLA and USC. And maybe that's just part of it. And Notre Dame. They would always play Notre Dame. So we would see them a couple times a year. So maybe that's where it goes back to.
My dad's like that with USC. My dad, and he says exactly that though. It's about the games you got to see. It's kind of one of the ways that my house became in South Side of Chicago became Wisconsin Badger hockey fans is we being able to see the games because a lot of the best players in Chicago were going to UW and they play the games on the radio or something like that, and so we'd hear them. And I remember as a kid listening to Badger hockey, you know, on the radio in WGN or something like that, and just really enjoying it. So that was always my college team. It has been ever in my house. It's always been our team. It's kind of funny how that works, though, isn't it? And there's something that's going to be kind of lost for younger kids, I would think. Where if I want to catch it, I can catch it. I don't care what it is. You want to watch the lacrosse championships? You can find it on somewhere. You know, you don't have to like really struggle to find your sports anymore. It seems like.
And if you don't want to watch the whole game, you just go to the YouTube video and watch the 10-minute highlights.
Well, actually, yeah. I take that back a little bit. In some ways, you do have to struggle to find your sports if you don't know anything about streaming nowadays. It's actually gone a completely different direction now with that. Should be exciting. Should be interesting. Why don't we go ahead? We'll take our final timeout right here. We come back. Let's see what you guys want to talk about. 715-424-2600. Feel free to call up and join the conversation. Randy and James taking you through Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing right here at WFHR. Welcome back to Playmakers. Randy and James here with you. We'll take it to the top of the hour and taking your phone calls and talking sports. 424-2600, 715-424-2600. Call up and join the conversation. Another big thing that we haven't gotten a chance to talk about, last 10 minutes of the show, we're here. Owners of the NFL voted to pass two game-changing rules that will be in effect starting in 2024. The first rule change was to adopt a low-impact kickoff previously used in the XFL. In addition, hip drop tackles were banned and would result in a penalty if used. That one's going to be very hard to impress on players, but I think that's more about a rule where the players govern themselves and have to learn to stop tackling like that.
That's going to be tough, because if they don't fall on their feet or legs, it's not going to be a penalty, but if they do it, it's going to be like, wow, that's going to be controversy. I can see it already. But they said the reason that they decided to do this, from what I understand, is like last year, there were 200, let's say, two games, something like that, 202 games, and there were 203 injuries resulting from this type of tackle, which, not just an injury, but it caused a player to miss one or more games.
Right.
So, you know, they're talking about safety, so that's why they're implementing it. But it's going to kind of be like that sack rule, I think, at first, where Clay Matthews was sacking people and keeping his weight off people, and yet he got flagged for it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's going to take some time for it. It's almost one of those things you wish that they might put into instant replay so that they could make You know, the one that was weird was with the Brewer game, that talking about instant replay. I think it was the first game they got a foul ball. And they didn't go after it.
Yeah.
And the guy scores. And I can't remember which game it was, but they show the replay, and it was a foul ball.
Yeah.
And they said they can't review that. And that's always curious to me, why they have things that you can't review. Because they always preach that it's for the good of the game. They want to get things right. And they say, oh, sorry, we can't review it. And I don't care what sport it is.
Same here. Right? Yeah, I don't want to. You have the technology. Use it.
Please.
Why else are we doing this? Yes. If I can tell at home, you should be able to do it as your job.
It was the Cubs-Texas game. That was
Okay.
Yeah, the Cubs scored in the top of the ninth, but then Texas got the tying homer in the bottom of the ninth. That's right. But
sometimes laws are in place not so much to tell us what to do, but to keep us, you know, in policing ourselves and everything. And I think that that's some of the NFL with some of the sack and the hip drop tackle. And then there are ones where they're trying their hardest to make this game safe so moms will let their kids play this game. Because the NFL understands, I think, better than most anybody, that they have a revenue source that is drying up. More and more kids are not going into playing football. Football's never been more popular. The last 20 years, if not longer than that, it hasn't been more popular. Yet they're not seeing the impact. They're not seeing it in the youth level like they used to. The numbers are down all across the board, all across the country. It's part of the reason why the NFL is going out to Europe. It isn't just the money. It isn't just to spread the game or anything. We need, hey, NBA, I see what you did there. I see how the top five players in your league are from out of this world, out of this country. So let's try that, because the American moms are not letting their kids play football. Maybe the Russian mom will. Maybe the London mom will, or something like that. So that's a key part of this, too. It's all about building off of that revenue that they have for, you know, over 100 years, really, in football. Or not that long, but a long time in football. I'm going to do something that you never hear in sports talk radio. I was wrong. With the kickoff thing, I immediately got defensive. And as somebody who maybe my favorite thing in sports is kick and punt returning, I got immediately defensive. Like, oh, they're killing it. It's gone. I'll never see it again. How dare you? You know, and losing my mind, all that. And then you see it kind of play out. You see read up a little bit more about it. You hear actual players talking about it, and you see, okay, well, you're probably never going to see a 100-yard return again or anything like that. But it does seem like it's safer. And it seems like there might be some excitement with this. They might be changing the game, tinkering with it to a degree where it just gives you a new element to look for, and that you don't. I mean, when's the last time you saw an onside kick and you thought that it was actually going to be recovered? Really?
And then now you can't have surprise onside kicks because they have to declare it. But they said there was only two surprise onside kicks last year, so it's not like it happens a lot. The other thing they said that might be a deterrent is if they kick it out of the end zone, you know, like the ball is going to get placed out 5 yards farther.
Yeah.
Like, they say 5 yards really different. They go, well, yeah, 5 yards in the NFL can be a big difference. And so the thing with them kicking it between the goal line and the 20-yard line, they said that there'll probably be more returns, actually.
Yeah, that, which is exciting.
Yeah.
And I was completely wrong about it. I thought that it meant that there weren't going to be any more returns. It does look like you're going to see some more returns now, which I'm excited about.
Interesting thing that I read about this was the fact that it's like the only thing in football where guys can't move when the ball moves.
Yes, that's weird.
They have to stand and wait until the bike, it either lands or it's caught.
I only got to play at them a little bit, but you remember those old electronic football boards where the guys just stand there, but they shake it or whatever? Like seeing this play out, it kind of looks like that a little bit. It's going to be interesting. Mm-hmm. I know that there was a point not too long ago that we thought pushing the PAT back 5-10 yards wouldn't have it a big impact on the game. And all it has done is impact the game to where now I actually care about the PAT. I actually am focused in on it and everything.
Or it could cost Anders Carlson his job.
Yeah, that's interesting.
He missed, what, 6 this year?
Seeing Green Bay pick up a kicker, give some competition in there, should be good for him. That should be good for them that going forward. The interesting thing with the Brewers, the Packers, that's going on right there is whether it's Craig Counsell or it's Aaron Rodgers leaving, most franchises in most states and most of the time, that's rebuild time. Rebuild, put the for sale out there sign. Everybody, if you've got a jersey of a player, get rid. You're not going to be wearing it much longer because that player is going to be traded. Like all these things. And we've seen a little bit of this in everything. There's no more number 12 jerseys being sold in the state or anything like that. But there's a bunch of number 10 ones. There's a bunch of number 10 ones being sold. And the way that these two franchises have been able to go, and there's a lot of games to be played on both sides and everything. I understand that. But in the moment, right now, you got to be pretty darn proud and happy. And I'm not just talking about Wisconsin fans. I mean, if you're a fan, you're a true fan of these sports, all our lives we see the Yankees and Dodgers and Cowboys and all these things and how much the big conglomerates and the money and all that. And in this state, we've seen small market teams. All the teams in this state are small market. All of them, including the most small market team in all of professional sports. Yet all I've seen them do in the 20-some years I've lived here is win, pretty much. Like, I know they haven't won championships every year or anything, but they're always putting a winning product on the field for the most part. And to transition from losing a face of your team, whether it is Aaron Rodgers or Craig Counsell, to begin a next season with hope in your fan base, young man, that is an impressive PR job. Credit to them. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool to see if you're a fan of these sports. Obviously, with my rooting interest, these are my rivals in many ways, But I love the sport so much, I think it's kind of cool to see. I think it's pretty awesome to see, and especially with the Brewers right now, where I got so many Brewer friends, and my kids are Brewer fans and everything, and the concern and the worry going into this year. And then to see what they're doing and how this is going, I know it's only 3 games. I don't care. These opening, if you're a fan of baseball, you get that the first couple of rounds, the first couple of series, that gives you an idea of what your team is. Doesn't say if you're, what they are completely, but it gives you a little bit of an idea of what the skeleton is of that team.
And James, you've got a feel for what it's like to build that, because you live here in Rapids and we got the River Kings.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And it's just like now it's an expectation, isn't it?
Yes.
And that's just kind of how it is here in Wisconsin, right? Well, the Packers, when's the last time we had a losing season? We've had 1, 2, 3, maybe since 1989, Mikowski comes on the scene. And the Bucks have been, right there very often. Brewers, the last, 5, 6 years, they've been in the playoffs every year except one when they missed by a game. So, yeah, it's just we're spoiled rotten.
And when it comes to the college side of things, too, where UW is now, I think that they have been for a while, but I think now the nation is not surprised to see University of Wisconsin in a bracket in basketball or in football or a lot of these things. There is a standard now kind of set that where they're not taken lightly anymore. They're not looked at like some other markets or other teams.
Right, and then you go back to their football team for Wisconsin and their basketball team. Heck, they were in national championship game 1 year, and the year before that they should have been. If the Kentucky doesn't hit that 3-pointer with about 3 seconds to go, they could have been back-to-back finals. So, yep, you're right. There's a standard.
It's kind of going to be interesting to see with the Brewers how this develops too. I'm curious about that. And with these rule changes to the NFL, I think one of the more interesting things to see as a fan is just how I don't wish ill at any player, but the mistakes that are going to happen, or the coaches and the players that get this down better than others, before or ahead of the curve of others and are able to take advantage of it. Football is so much about everybody's doing their job, everybody's doing the right thing, and then one bad play and you lose the game. I'm curious to see how much special teams comes into play on this. How much the, going back to, again, moving the kickback. And how much, hey, we got this, we're going to win, and your kicker misses a PAT and you lose. These situations coming up in the game of inches.
I think what's going to be interesting is how they adjust to the new tackle rule as well, because people are already saying Derrick Henry will never get tackled. Where do you hit him?
Man, how do you play Baltimore? Yeah. Like, how do you defend against Baltimore this upcoming season if everybody is healthy? They've got some really nice receivers over there that when their heads are on straight, they've got a nice offensive line, and two running backs. Like, including one, both that can throw, by the way.
Right.
Both of them can throw. Derrick Henry's got, two or three touchdowns in his career? Lamar Jackson is an MVP? I mean, God, that team, I don't want to face that team.
No, they're in the AFC.
Yeah. It's going to be an exciting year. And an exciting draft coming up at the end of the month. Next week, we're going to talk draft, everybody. We're going to be talking draft coming up, building up to the NFL draft. And get ready to talk about that. Do your homework on it. Everybody's got homework for the next week. Learn about the draft. I'm kidding. Do whatever you want. But I am looking forward to talking about the draft next week. Looking at our schedule, touched on this earlier, Wisconsin women taking on St. Louis tonight. Going to be a good one. At the Kohl Center, it's going to be rocking in Madison tonight. Our pregame will kick off at 6:40 right here at WFHR. Tomorrow, we've got Bucks basketball for you. Bucks at Washington taking on the Wizards. We'll follow the Wisconsin women's basketball team through the WNIT tournament as best as we can. They will not have a game. If they win today, they won't have a game tomorrow. There's no way that they do that. So we'd be looking at Wednesday, possibly. Programming-wise, right now, we have the Bucks hosting Memphis. That's what we have in schedule. We'll see how that plays out. I would like to follow the Badgers. We'll see what happens.
And if the snow ever stops flying, we may actually have some high school baseball or softball for you.
Oh, cannot wait. Yeah, we're going to be having that coverage for you coming up. Be on the lookout for that, everybody. And if you are a business out there, there is not many better ways to get more bang for your buck than sponsoring high school sports and sponsoring our original programming around here. Encourage you to do so. Go ask Phil over at Quality Plus Printing how much it's worked out for him. Anybody that works with us, I encourage you to do that. Great show, Randy. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you to the best listeners on radio, all of you guys out there for the calls. We'll be back next week with more Playmakers right here at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.